May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another episode of Life in Bali, the one day a week where we get away from all that Zen nonsense. I'm D.C. Poobah of Kuuk Audio and Kuuk Archives. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable and free from economic hardship and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. So, I said one day a week. We didn't have one last week. You know, as I have mentioned in other podcasts, I am involved trying to get through with this audiobook that I spent way too much time on. First time, next time I'll just zip through it. Also, I'm making a connection with a big studio here that has done a lot of audiobooks, and I'm hoping they will help analyze and maybe optimize it before I nervously submit it. And if you notice a little tap, 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 tap going on, that's the ceiling fan. Every once in a while it does that. And I didn't turn it off. I probably could have turned it off and turned it back on. It wouldn't happen. And if it continues happening, I can't have that. I'll have to call Mudik and he'll come balance it. Which is something I would have done if it was back in America, but I can't do anything for myself anymore except record and do, the stuff I do for Kuuk Archives and email and swimming. Okay. One other bit of noise. There's some static coming through from Rin's side of this. I'm calling her on Facebook Messenger. And anyway, for some reason, on her end, there's a little static, especially toward the end. And also, her voice gets very low, so I had to, amplify it. And so I had to amplify the static some, too. And so I got rid of what I could. It's not that bad. Okay. All right. Let's see. Anything happening in Bali that's exciting? Katrink is planning to go to America in the fall, but she keeps her eye out on what's happening. She reads Jackie Pomeroy's COVID-19 diary or whatever it's called every day. It's on Facebook. And whether she got this from that or from some other news source, maybe Al Jazeera, she keeps up with Al Jazeera. There's a airline that's considering banning people from Indonesia because there was a plane that landed in Hong Kong, maybe, or Singapore, that where 26 people from Jakarta tested positive. How the heck did they get on that plane? I think you have to be tested to fly out of the country, but I don't know. Anyway, that's one little bit of news here. So today's guest is Rin Oren. She's a repeat. In fact, the last Life in Bali was part one, Rin Oren. And so this is part two, Rin Oren, and picks up right where we left off. So let's give her a call right now and see what's happening, all right?
Hello.
Okay, now?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Congratulations on your getting your first shot. And could you get a little closer to the mic? You sound very distant.
Okay, is this enough?
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. great, you didn't get sick at all. That's terrific. So, Rin, we left you last time. You were, I think you were married to, I don't know if you were married, were you married? You were married to the psychic.
Yes.
In, and living in Java, like where in?
In Jakarta.
In Jakarta.
Yeah.
So, what happened?
Well, long story cut, I get divorced again. I leave my husband in 2004 with a son with me, you know, and I move to Bandung to start a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And I rent a house for myself and my son.
Yeah.
But
tell us where Bandung is.
Bandung is in West Java, not far from Jakarta. It's just like 2.5 hours with toll road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's not traffic.
Yeah.
You know, like
right.
Regular traffic. Yeah.
How's the traffic outside of Jakarta?
Jakarta is worse, but Bandung's still bad too.
Mm-hmm. What about going from Jakarta to Bandung? How's the traffic on the road?
On the weekend, it's going to be like, I don't know, crawling maybe? it's just like really, really slow, you know, because it's just like most of people from Jakarta go for a weekend in Bandung so they can hang out there, you know, because Bandung is famous with clothes and also the culinary, you know, like, and a lot of people said Bandung is Paris van Java.
Yeah, it's the Paris of Indonesia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
a priest in the Zen Center who lived there a couple of years, and he loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of person who love to dress up, you know, like put makeup on. I'm not that kind of person. I just want to be who I am, you know, like I just want to be myself. You know,
mm-hmm.
like which I want to use the whatever clothes that I like to use, you know, not so fancy, not fashionable, you know, like just being me, you know, like that's, and that's why also after my parents took my son, I decided to move to Bali.
Yeah.
Because I was heartbroken, you know, like, and I cannot live with my son only, you know, like my parents forced me to stay at home, which is going to be hard for me to taking care of my son with their spoiling their grandson, you know, like that's the first grandson that they have.
Uh-huh.
So I feel frustrated, and so I leave from Bandung 2004, and I choose Bali to start live for myself.
Mm-hmm. What made you choose Bali?
Because I barely know anyone here, you know, like only one or two person maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, you know, like, and I love beaches. That's for sure. I love beaches. And in Bali, if I live in Bali, you know, like it just took at least 15, 20 minutes to go to the beach. And it takes less than 10 minutes to see the rice field. That's what I love, nature, you know, like. And for me, Bali is the perfect place for me to live because it's just like We don't have to, I don't have to dress up, you know, like I don't have to go out without, I don't have to go out with makeup on, you know, like it's just simple thing, you know,
Well,
like that's me, yeah.
you mean like Bandung is more style conscious,
Yes.
and the rest and J Jakarta too, and
Jakarta too, yeah.
really,
Yeah. So I'm barely use lipstick either. So how can I put makeup on if I'm not really working, you know, like you know what I mean by working, you know, like it's just like it happened to me when first time I come to Bali, I rent a small room. It was only 250,000 a month. Without anything, you know, like bathroom inside, but I sleep on the floor, you know, like with the traditional carpet. Yeah, and the pillow that I use is the towel from my after I get shower, you know, like so I just fold it and I use it as a pillow for me to sleep. So that's in the beginning I come to Bali.
Wow, that's rather austere living.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyhow, I found a place to stay and I met some people and I start to work in one of the not really famous, but it was quite famous at the time, you know, like I was working in a bar near to Double Six, and yeah,
Double Six
so
Beach.
Double Six Beach, you know, like so I work as a waitress, yeah, and it's not even enough money for me to live, you know, like it's just like I don't know, 850,000 a month, but I think that's enough at that time, you know, like and so
So back
I,
then, what was the dollar? Was 850,000 and that was 2004, huh?
2004, I think it's already 9,000 something less than it is now.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's not enough
Yeah.
to live on.
Well, for me, that's enough. Anyway,
Oh, you
I
did? You
live
lived
in,
on
yeah.
850,000 a month?
I live in 850,000 a month because I sometime after a job finish, you know, like I do driver too on my bike. You know, I rent a bike. And I just write someone after I go home, you know, like it's just like I came to a bule, you know, like who drunk enough, and I asked him like if he need a ride to go home, you know, like and they will pay me enough money, like 50,000. That's already a big money for me, you know, like so that's how I work, and I drank all night long. You know, like when I'm still working.
What did you
So
drink? What did you drink?
whatever I can. It's because I work in the bar, you know, like and the bartenders will give us what we want, you know, like and sometimes the guests give me drink too, and I don't know, I become immune to alcohol, I think, and it never make me really, really drunk after all, you know, like and so that's what happened. And then a month later, my friend asked me if I'd like to work as a babysitter. So I moved I changed my job become a babysitter because the wages, the salary that time, the parents give me $250 a month.
Wait a minute. Did you just say $250 a month?
Yes.
Oh, that's way more than you were making.
Way more, way more. I know. That's why
That's like eight times more or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
very good.
Yeah. So anyhow, I've worked in different places, you know, like and I hang out with different people too, and then I don't know, I get involved in the community. Is harm reduction. Mm-hmm. It's an NGO, non-government organization.
Yeah.
That related with drugs abuse, injecting drug user and HIV/AIDS.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I worked there for a while. On 2005,
In 2005, you knew the term harm reduction.
Yes, 2005 or 2006, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I've
promoted, you know, on my websites and blogs, not recently, but through the years, mm-hmm. harm reduction as the best response to drug and alcohol problems.
Yes.
And, you know, I've posted lots of stuff against the war on drugs and everything. I don't do much of that these days, but maybe I should do a little more. Yeah, because harm reduction is where it's at.
Yeah.
So go on.
So, yeah, I start, when I was young, you know, like when I was really young, I start to try like some kind of ecstasy, you know, like I try different kind of drugs, you know, like, and it didn't make me happy at the beginning, but then I get addicted to one of the drugs, and...
Well, what drug? You're certainly not going to get addicted to ecstasy. What drug did you get addicted to?
I prefer ecstasy if I can hang out, party every night, you know, but I get addicted to heroin.
Uh-huh. Well, because they're certainly very different.
Yes, I know. I know. I know. Anyhow, it's just like, and one of my clients from the harm reduction.
Yeah.
It become my friend. It's just like a sister for me. In 2007, I almost died. But getting OD.
Yeah.
I'm getting OD and she saved my life. You know, like she brought me to the hospital and I wake up and I was angry to her, you know, like it's just like why do you have to take me to the hospital? Why don't you just let me die? You know, like I don't know. It's just like for me life is not scary, it's just like boring for me, you know, like life is bored, you know, like, and so maybe, I don't know, it's just like that happened on 2007, and then on 2011, yeah,
mm-hmm.
She helped the cop to frame me for a drug dealer.
Wait a minute. That woman helped the cops frame you?
Yes, because she's under, the cops threatened her because she just released from a prison 8 days, and the cops told her that she's gonna get in again. You know, like,
oh, she had to, she had to get someone else arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that in America too. They do it all over the world.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
I thought it's happening in Indonesia only.
No, no. No. America has, I don't know the figures. I bet America has 10 people in prison for every one in prison in Indonesia. Or eight or something like that. America's world leader in percentage of people in prison.
Yeah.
And it's a big industry. They like to arrest as many people as they can. And they like, once they get involved in the system, they like to keep them in there because it's an enormous amount of money made, and it employs an enormous number of people. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. All right, go on.
Okay, so I went to jail, but I didn't let her go out. You know, like, I tell to the cop, you know, like, maybe you don't know me, but I will, oh, I forgot something. When they captured me for being a drug dealer, I punched a chief of the cop in the face, so the staff, the whatever cops that is, just beat me back, you know, like beat me up back, and I think that's why I get high sentence, you know, like than what I supposed to get.
Oh, you know? So you hit the arresting police officer in the face.
Yes.
Aha. And so
it just one.
Just once. And so yeah. You were charged with assaulting a police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But I don't regret it at all. You know, like at that time, I don't regret it at all because since I was a child, my dad told me to stand up for your right. So that's it. I think I went to prison 2011.
You went to Kerobokan here, right?
Right. I went to Kerobokan here.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I remember playing tennis with you, I asked you where you learned to play tennis.
Yeah, that was it. I started to play in Kerobokan.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, in the beginning in Kerobokan, I thought it was a curse, you know, like, it's just like, how can be possible that God put me in prison, you know, like when he knows that I'm innocent, that I'm not a drug dealer, you know, like it's just like I was so mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Well,
so
you know, that's interesting. You didn't tell me that when you said you learned to play tennis in prison.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that you were framed. I didn't. I knew why. Yeah. I knew why, because of the program, but I didn't know. To me, you know, people who are in prison for drugs are all innocent, unless they were really hurting people with, you know, violence. But that's not drugs; that's violence, and the drug, pardon me for going on, this is one of my pet themes. The drug that has the highest association with violence by far is alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I do a lot of violent thing when I'm drunk.
I can't imagine you being violent. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyhow. Why I didn't tell you that I was framed is just because when I get into prison, I thought I was cursed, you know, like that God avoiding me, you know, like something like that.
Yeah.
But after prison time, I see it as a gift.
Mm.
Because I learned a lot from there, like really a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to be humble. I learned how to forgive others, you know, like, and I learned to accept who I am and how I was, you know, like, and I cannot change the past, and nor we should shut the door on it, because I become the way I am at the moment.
That's very impressive. And did you attend meetings in prison?
Yes.
Yeah, and they were good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, and then I go out from prison in 2013.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So you were just in for 2 years. That's pretty good. You were lucky.
No, 2 years and 9 months, almost 3 years.
Oh, well, you went in 11.
Yeah.
Oh, you said 2 years and 9 months.
Yeah, 2 years and 9 months.
God, well, people get 4 years for one joint of marijuana.
No, I got 4.5 years for 0.1 meth.
Uh-huh. Oh, but you got out early.
Yep. I do probation, as you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that's it. That's my life story.
Yeah, well, we met you. We arrived here in December of 2013. And we might have even met you in December. Or early in 2014. And since then, we've played tennis, and I've seen you always be very industrious and have different jobs and, you know, running that wonderful furniture place and helping Love Porridge get going and various things. And, hey, I need more yogurt.
Okay. I'll send it to you tomorrow, Candy, I think. Yeah, tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, no hurry, but whenever. I'll be here.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go to Genius tomorrow. I want to talk to some of the musicians that play there. In case you want to go, I plan to go over there about 5. And I imagine Katrinka would. I mean, I assume Katrinka would go if you want to go with us. But I don't know if she can go. I think she can. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Ren. That's very interesting. That's very good to hear you took this bad fortune of being framed and sent to prison to grow and learn, and that was very touching.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Ren Oren. That's very touching. Mm. Mm. And I'll see you tomorrow. This has been a Cuke Audio podcast. A Life in Bali. I'm D.C. Poobah of Cute Gaudio and Cute Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sonora with Doggett Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.